Exodus 33, starting verse number 1. Sorry, I didn't say that before. Exodus 33. Do something a little different we do down home, back home. If you find your place, we'll stand, honor and reverence to God's word. Exodus 33, to verse number 1, read just a couple verses. Just a few verses. Find your place. Exodus chapter 33, and says in verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto a land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. No man did put on him his ornaments. The Lord hath said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, You are a stiff-necked people. I will come up to the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. The children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb." Second time, let's get to verse number 12. Because verse number 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See that thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation as thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said to him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." You may be seated. Brother Deal, would you open us up in prayer? This isn't going to be a long mess. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I've tried to be, and I bored myself, so I quit. I'm just not long-winded. I really have. I've tried to be. I get more notes, and I get tired of looking at notes. People get tired of listening. I think she thought that was pretty funny. But it's not going to take too long this morning, what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to hold you too long. I do want to give you something I believe the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. I've been praying about this for a long time since I talked to Brother Dill and found out we were going to get to come up here. We pray about what the Lord wants me to say to you. It's had a short time, just one day, and I just want to be able to give what the Lord wants you to have. I believe in our day and age, we're missing something in most church services. And we go about our business as nothing has changed. We sing and we preach and we carry on like it's the same as it always has been, like we've never noticed the difference. But I believe in a lot of churches today, we're missing the presence of God in our services. Not everywhere, not every time, but as we've been doing some traveling, we definitely experienced some dead services, we like to call it. Service without the move of God, without the Spirit of God being present. Service without the Spirit of God being able to work and move and convict and do what he needs to do. Think if we're not careful, we're going to miss it this morning. I think a lot of church services are like that at this point or another. We're all human. All churches have those times. But it ought to be our goal. It ought to be our first goal to be in a church. It ought to be to have the presence of God with us. It ought to be the first one we invite in before we invite the visitors to come in, before we invite our family to come in. We ought to pray, and we ought to ask God to meet with us. That's the point of coming to church this morning, to be able to meet with God. He'd be able to hear what God has for us. If we don't have that perspective, if we don't have that goal, we're wasting our time. That's what I'm going to preach on this morning. You might say, well, I'm saved. I bring the Holy Ghost with me wherever I go. That may be true. There's a big difference between having the Spirit of God in your heart and the Spirit of being free to move about, sort of being free to convict and save and restore, like I preached about earlier. We've got to be careful. The Holy Spirit's a very sensitive person. We can kick him out of service very easily if we're not careful. And that I turned to the mission field while we were at youth camp. And that service started about 7 o'clock. I think we got about 11:30 that night. Nobody ever preached. It was everybody's testimony, praising the Lord for all the goodness he has given. People are surrendering their lives to the Lord. I surrender to the mission field. I believe we're missing that a lot of times. We're not careful. We're missing God in service. We meet. We have church. We sing. We may have some good singing. We may have some fun. We may have some fellowship. If we're not careful, God's not going to show up. And we're going to go home patting ourselves on the back talking about a good service we had, and God was, never showed up. If we do that, we are wasting our time. We're no point in coming to church if God doesn't come here. No point in coming to church. No point in being part of the church if God is not the center of attention. If God's not the one we're looking for, not the one we're desiring to meet with, we're wasting our time. Lord, I'm going to preach a little while on where did God go. Let's go back and look at a little bit of background of this passage here in Exodus chapter 33. So Moses, he brought the children out of Israel under the leadership of the Lord. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Sorry, I said that wrong. They've crossed the Red Sea. They have journeyed through the wilderness. God has fed them. He's taken care of them. He's given them water to drink, manna to eat. Moses goes up into the mountain a couple different times. This last time he goes up and he's gone for some time. Chapter 24, Moses goes up. It's not until chapter 32 that Moses comes back down. Gone for some time. God has given Moses the law, the tablets there. God's writing on the tablets, giving to Moses, the Israelite, the law we read about in the Old Testament. That's what Moses is doing during this time. Since he has been gone for so long, the people, they become impatient. And there they get Aaron to make the golden calf. You know, study that, I'm sure. God tells Moses to go handle the people that he brought out. God looks to Moses and says, go handle your people. Get off this mountain and go take care of your people. Moses comes down. Moses in his flesh, he breaks the tablets, punishes the people. Then Moses begins to plead with God for the sake of the people of Israel. Say what you want to about Moses. He made some mistakes. He had a temper. But if it were not for Moses, God would have wiped the Jews out a long time ago. I believe that. There's many times Moses is begging God, please don't kill your people. You say what you want to about Moses. I believe he had a good heart. Verse from chapter 32. Look back there with me. Chapter 32, verse number 30. I'm going to read a good bit of scripture this morning, but I think that's okay. Ought to be okay to read scripture in the church. I think so. Acts chapter 32, verse number 30. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up to the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go lead the people into a place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit the sin upon them. And Lord, plague the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. So God tells Moses to go. Moses goes back up to the mountain, begging God for forgiveness. Begging God, please don't kill your people. Please don't kill my people. Lord, Moses is begging God to let them continue on. God tells Moses, you go on, you continue on. The angel of the Lord will go before you, come before you. But the God will not visit them at this time. God basically says, I just can't talk to you right now. I don't know if my mom said that to me a few times before. You probably said it to your kids before. I just can't talk to you right now. You can sit over there. I'll talk to you later. That's kind of the position God's in right now with these people. He says, I don't want to be present with them right now. I'm not going to show up in the camp right now because of the sin they've done. The Lord basically tells Moses, I don't want to talk to them right now. You get them out of here. That's a scary position to be in. Great God of heaven, the shepherd we talked about earlier, not wanting to meet with his people. That's a scary place to be. Then we're going to look at God's command in chapter number 33, God's command, verse number 1. The Lord said unto Moses, depart, go up hence, thou and thy people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God tells Moses, you just go, you depart, you carry on. God tells Moses, get out of here, take your people and get them out of here. He said he'll send an angel before them to wipe out the enemies for him. He's going to wipe out all the Ites, wipe out the Jebusites, all the verse number 3-2 there, wipe out all their enemies. I'll just allow you to go on into the promised land and go to a land flowing with milk and honey. God tells Moses, you pack up your people, you get their stuff. I'll send somebody wipe out their enemies. You just keep on going. You can go to that land flowing with milk and honey. It sounds like a pretty good deal. God tells Moses, you just go ahead. I'll take care of your enemies for you. Troubles will be gone. You just keep on marching. No more manna. No more having to beat the water out of the rock or speak the water out of the rock. God says, you just go and I'll take care of the troubles for you. And you can go on to that milk and honey. There's one problem with that. There's one thing missing. What is that? That's the presence of God. I hope you don't understand. God said, I can just go ahead and God take care of all of our enemies for us. He'll wipe out the enemies for Israel. They don't have anything else to worry about. No troubles, no trials. Milk and honey, the great land, the big grapes, the big clusters of grapes I saw before. God tells Moses, you just go and I'll give that to you. You can have it. But God says, I'm not going to go with you. The church is dead. The church is does not have the Spirit of God in the presence of the church. If they're doing that, you're not going to have too many battles to face from the devil. The devil's not going to fight against a church that is not living for God. The devil's not going to fight against a dead church. That dead church is the devil's greatest ally. Somebody's speaking the right things, but not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Somebody's two-faced, a hypocrite. That's Satan's greatest ally. You're not going to have any battles. If you're not wanting the presence of the Lord, it'd be pretty easy. Will not be any battles. If you're fine without the presence of God in your church, New Hope, if you're fine without God showing up in your services, all you need is a big crowd or big money. All you care about is that milk and honey. If that's all you want, you're not going to have too many battles to worry about. Things are pretty easy. You're not going to have anything to fight against. People won't fight against you. If you just let anything come in, let anything go, let anything go by, you're not going to have any too many battles. But you're not going to get much accomplished for God without His presence. I believe a lot of people, a lot of churches spend their days rolling in the milk and honey, the big crowds, the big money, and they haven't seen God move in years. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the crowds. My goal is to worship, do what God wants me to do, reach people God wants me to reach. If that's one person, that's fine. If that's 1,000 people, that's good too. Whatever God wants us to do, but I don't want to go without God. Where's our hunger for the presence of God? New Hope, where's your hunger for having God present in your service? Where's your hunger for having God here with you? Where did God go? Now, I don't know your situation. I'm sure He may be here. I'm not saying He's not. But where's our hunger for? A lot of times, if not careful, we can get complacent. We can lose our care for having God with us. We like to come in. We like to fellowship. We like to have the friends and the singing. That's all well and good. It's all good things to have. It's important to have the fellowship in the church. But if the presence of God is not here, we're losing it. God's command told him to go on out of here. You can go. I'm not going with you. Number two, you see God's absence. Verse number 3 of chapter number 33. Into a land flowing with milk and honey. For now I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. The Lord said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I'll come into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Children of Israel stripped themselves of ornaments by the Mount Horeb. God said, I'll allow you to go, I said before. I'll even remove your enemies. God says, I'm not going with you. I will not be present with you. God was so mad at these people, He said, if I was present in your camp, He said, I would consume thee. God was so mad at His people, He said, I'm not going to be with you, because if I was with you, I'd kill you. That's what God's telling Moses to tell the people of Israel. That word stiff neck literally means hard of neck, as if an ox that cannot be led. That's what that means there. You cannot, stubborn, cannot be led. Going to do what you want to do no matter what. I've met some people like that before. They're going to believe what they want to believe. They're going to do what they want to do. No matter what's right or what's wrong, they're going to do what they want to do. God says a stiff-necked people, God does not have very much use for them. He said, if I was present with you, God says, I'd have to kill you. God did not want to be in the camp with these people, because He knew if He was, He knew they would sin in His presence. He knew if they sinned in His presence, He knew He had to kill them. How many churches today, as God said, I'm not going to show up there for their own sake? That's a scary position to be in. If there's sin in your life, there's sin in the church. You cannot expect God to show up in the midst of it. God will not do it. God's not going to share room with your sin. God's not going to share that space. It's Him or it's not Him. There's no half and half, no living on the fence. If you're living for God or you're not, God's not going to share space with your sin. God's not going to come into a church that has sin in it. God's presence will not be there with you, because He knows if He is, He has to punish you. In Israel's case, He said He had to consume them. I believe his preacher, Stennett Blue, he said, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. He's also very sensitive. Holy Spirit, He's not going to come in on His own. He's going to be invited. And invite Him in. But He'll also get up and leave very quickly. He's very sensitive. Very easily offended. God cannot share a room with your sin. Maybe you're missing the presence of God. Maybe you're wondering why you haven't felt the move of God in a while here in New Hope. Maybe you're wondering why God hasn't been showing up for your service. Maybe time to check up. Check your own heart. Don't point your finger at anybody else. Check your own heart. Examine your own heart and your own life. Is it your fault that God has not shown up for the service? I'm not saying He's not, but if he's not, you ought to check yourself. I would hate to be the one that shunned the Holy Ghost. I'd hate to be the reason that God's Spirit, Holy Ghost, got up and walked out of the service. God may be trying to convict somebody else in the service. Maybe a lost person in the service. Maybe somebody needs God's presence in the service. You best be careful. You best have your heart right. Best have your life right in the service. The Holy Spirit very easily will get up and leave. Number three, we see not only God's absence, but we see Moses' plea down toward the other part of the chapter, verse number 12. Moses' plea, chapter 33, verse number 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou hast said unto me, bring up this people, And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation as thy people. Moses is basically saying, Lord, you told me you're going to protect us, told me I found grace in your sight. Please don't kill me now, is basically what he's saying. Verse number 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. God says, I'll go with you, Moses. Because you want me to go with you, I'll go with you, I'll give you rest. He said unto him, if thou presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses is pleading with God, begging God to show up and not leave his people. The nation of Israel has turned their back on God, worshiping the golden calf, worshiping the idols. Moses says, Lord, please don't leave us now. Please don't kill us now. You brought us this far. We're in the wilderness. We want to go to that Canaan land. We want the milk and the honey. Please don't kill us now. Moses heard God's plea. He says, I'll go with you, Moses. Moses reminds God of the grace he has found. He reminds God of who these people are. They are God's people. Or before God told Moses to go to Moses' people, to go to your people. Moses says, God, these are your people, not my people. Moses reminds God who they are. I'll be in prayer every time we come to this church, but Lord, if you're not with us, there's no point in us coming. Lord, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. If the Lord wants us in Alaska, I want to be in Alaska. If the Lord wants me in North Carolina, I want to be in North Carolina. I want to go wherever the Lord wants us to go, do whatever he wants us to do. But if he does not come with us, I'm not coming. I want to do whatever he wants us to do. Ought to be your heart, ought to be your goal is to do whatever the Lord wants you to be, wherever he wants you to be, do whatever he wants you to do. If you're not with the presence of God, not following the presence of God, you're not going to get anything done. New Hope Baptist Church, if the presence of God is not in your services, you're wasting your time. Do not invite God in these churches. Do not have our heart right, our spirit right with him. We're nothing more than a glorified country club. It's what we're doing. Meeting and doing good things. A lot of people do good things. A lot of people take up money to give to charities. Do a lot of things with missions. Helps him for the pipes. That's a lot of good things. They're very good things. But that's not what makes you a church. What makes you different, look at that next. What makes us different is the presence of God. It's a Jew separation. Verse number 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also as thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. What is it that separates us here in New Hope from the Buddhists in their temple? Or what is it that separates us from the hypocrites, the ones that say they love God but never show up to church? So what is it that makes us different? What is it that makes us different from the country club? What is it that makes us different from everybody else? The only thing that makes us different, the only thing that makes the Jews different, was the presence of God. Moses tells God, he says, what makes us your people? He says, it's you being with us. If you're not with us, we're no different than all these other ites. No different than them, no different than the enemy. Lord, if you don't go with us, we're no different than everybody else. New Hope, you're no different than anybody else if you do not have the presence of God with you. You're wasting your time. The only thing that separates us here today is God's presence with us. Moses says that's what separates us from the rest of the world. That's what separates us, saved people, the church, from the rest of the world, is living for God, being saved, having God's presence with you. The only thing that makes it different is having God in our lives. So if we don't have his presence in our homes, if we don't have his presence in the church, if we don't care to have his presence with us, what are we doing? What's the point? What is the point? Where did God go? Where did we lose him? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Yes, sir. 19, verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 8. First Kings 19, verse number 8, it says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, go forth and stand upon the mountain for the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake of fire, the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still a small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You all know this passage, I'm sure. Elijah's been threatened by Jezebel. He's cut all those prophets. I've heard somebody say before that Elijah created the first non-profit organization. He cut all the prophets off. He's ran into the wilderness. God fed him there by a juniper tree. He goes into a cave on Mount Horeb, runs away again. Notice verse 11 again. He said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord." God tells Elijah, "You come forth, you stand upon the mountain before the Lord." Pretty simple. Pretty simple command there. So Elijah's lodged in a cave. We see that in verse number 9. Verse 11, God tells Elijah to go forth, stand on the mountain. But does Elijah come out of the cave? Not until verse number 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it, they wrapped his face in mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Back in verse number 11, Lord says to Elijah, "You come out, stand upon the mountain for the Lord." That's the wind came by. Lord wasn't in the wind. The fire came by. Lord wasn't in the wind. I skipped one there. Strong wind. The rain. There you go. The earthquake and the fire. Sorry. My point is, it wasn't until verse number 13 Elijah came out. It wasn't until after all the things happened that Elijah came out of the cave. God told Elijah back in verse number 11, "You come out here, you listen to me." Then all these things happened. The wind came. There's been a lot of wind on Mount Horeb before. Moses there heard the wind. God was in the clouds. Earthquake. God's been an earthquake before in the fire. You ever heard of a burning bush talking to Moses there? The Lord's been in a bush near Mount Horeb before. The Lord's been in a fire on Mount Horeb before. Why was he not in the fire this time? If Elijah did not come, if the Lord was in the fire, Elijah would have missed it. The Lord's been in the fire before. He could have been in the fire that time. The Lord's been in the wind before. He could in the storm before. He could have been the wind that time. If that was the case, Elijah would have missed it. God, we have to follow what the Lord tells us to do. Be where the Lord tells us to be when he tells us to be there. Or if we're not careful, we'll miss it. It's not until that still small voice, the Lord finally whispers to Elijah and tells him to come out there. Tells him what he wants him to do. If we're not careful, we'll miss what the Lord wants to do. We have to follow him perfectly, follow his will perfectly. If we're not careful, we're going to miss it. It's not until after the rocks break, not until after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire. And then finally God starts listening to Elijah. He finally comes out of the cave. Finally comes to listen to God. He still doesn't quite do what God tells him to do. God's still on the mountain. Elijah, all he does is come to the entering of the cave. Still not quite where God told him to be. I believe Elijah probably missed some blessings because of that. If we're not careful, God's going to pass by. We're never going to see him. If we're not careful, we're going to have our head in the wrong place, our heart in the wrong place. A lot of these things are good things. Singing's good. Outreach is good. Fellowship is good. But if we're not longing for the presence of God, we're going to miss it. We don't have our head in the right place. We're hiding out in the cave. We're going to miss God. We're going to miss the will of God. And we're going to miss out on a lot of blessings God has for us. A lot of things God has to do about his church if we're not careful. I wonder how many of us are too busy hiding out in the cave to even care that God's outside trying to show us something. Elijah could have seen some pretty amazing things. God moving the wind, God moving the fire. He could have seen some pretty amazing things. He's out there in the cave, hiding in the cave where God told him not to be. There's no world out here that needs the gospel. There's sinners dying on the way to hell every day. There's people in Africa that needs the gospel, of course. There's also people here in Craig, Alaska that need the gospel, need the saving grace of God. If you're not careful, we're hiding out in our cave, hide out here in the church building and miss what God has for us. We can stay tucked away in our cave forever, not caring if God shows up or not. Walk into church, do our time, punch our time clock, go back out. We do all those things, people dying all around us, people dying and going to hell all around us. This world needs more churches with God's presence. If God is not present, if we do not follow what he tells us to do, if we are not looking for him, trying to find him, we're going to miss it, and we're no good to anybody, no good to the community. If New Hope Baptist Church does not have God's presence, New Hope Baptist Church is no good to the community. It's important. It's very important. Not only in the church, you need it in your home. Your kids need to see it at home. Your kids ought to not only hear about God at church, they'll hear about it at home. Your presence needs to be in your life. If God doesn't show up, we're wasting our time. Where did God go? The truth of it is, God is not going anywhere. He still wants to meet with us like he always has. He's still the good shepherd. He still wants to take care of his sheep the entire time. He's always been here, always will be here. He's here, and he's in his will. We're the ones that left him. God is never going to leave anyone forsaken. The Bible tells us that. We're the ones that get up and walk away. Where did God go? God's right where he told you to be. Where's God's presence? It's important, church. It's important. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the service this morning, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Thank you for his people. Lord, I pray you bless New Hope Baptist Church, Lord, as they try to find a pastor, Lord. Lord, whatever, I want your will, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I want your presence. Lord, I want New Hope Baptist Church to have your presence. Well, I pray you help this church here in Jesus' name.